Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hey guys.
Hello there.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares. So Terry.
Shayla.
How do you feel about vigilante justice?
Ooh. Put me on the spot.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it before, one time, with like a lynching. And I was pretty, I think I was upcoming or upfront about how I felt about it.
Even today when there's a jury, innocent people goes to jail still yet.
Yeah.
So making that your call.
Exactly.
Is kind of sketchy.
For sure. Well, the case tonight kind of has, okay, it definitely has that. and I want to start by saying this case has been done and done and done and done, and it's done, okay?
Hey, honey, is it done?
Yes. But I kind of feel like I've said, every time we've done something like this, it's like,
we kind of have to.
Sure, it's been done, but this is ours. Like, this is one of our claimed fame, if you will, in the true crime genre, right?
Per se.
And so, per se.
I had to say something. I don't know.
You're welcome. Yeah. So, we're talking about Kenrex McElroy.
A what?
Mm-hmm. Kenrex McElroy.
Is that how his last name is said?
I have no idea. Everybody says it that way. I'm going with it. anyway. So, many of you listening, if you're true crime fans, you're like, oh, yeah, I know this story. So, when I was kind of researching and looking into it, I was like, I don't think I even need to look into it. Like, that's how much I've heard of this, is I'm like, I think I can tell this story without ever looking into it at all.
I even knew this story.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, and it's funny to me that it is so popular. I mean, when you know Skidmore is this teeny tiny little town in northern Missouri, and it's
unsolved.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think, I don't know. I guess it's the vigilante aspect of it that people just can't believe that many people have kept quiet this whole time.
It's been how many years?
Long time. Let's 38? Just talk about it. Yeah.
You don't know, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I just, someone always can like speaks up by now.
I know.
Like for money or for TV or for fame or something. Uh-huh. So that's crazy as well.
Let's get right into the story and then we can talk more about what the heck later. Kenrex McElroy. He was born June 1st, 1934. He was the 15th of 16 children.
Whoa.
Yes. He was born to poor tenant farmers by the name of Tony and Mabel McElroy. And from what I understand, I'm sure I got this right. He was born in Overland Park, Kansas. And then they came to Skidmore afterward.
Well, the reason they're poor is they have 16 damn children.
I know, right? Quit having kids. You won't have to feed so many people. There's an idea. Yeah. So he dropped out of school at the age of 15. He was in the 8th grade, and most people believe he was completely illiterate. I would think he could read a little bit at that point. I mean,
you would hope.
I think he learned to read before 8th grade. Even in Missouri, we teach our kids to read before 8th grade.
That's so wrong.
That just seems like really old not to know how to read. But Kenrex was a raccoon hunter, but he also was a cattle rustler, a womanizer, and I don't know. He was injured at the age of 18 when a steel slab fell and hit him at a construction site. And this caused him chronic pain from then on out, from what I understand. he actually got some head trauma from this too, which some people attribute to his shittiness later.
I don't know if head trauma would cause you just to all of a sudden be a bad person.
I think it has.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
To turn somebody just to be an asshole?
Well,
I could see, like, other things, memory loss, not be able to function right.
I think.
But just click something that makes you, like, be horrible to people is not.
I mean, if you think that it is causing damage to the part of the brain that has to do with that kind of thought process.
Is there a part of brain that controls to being an asshole?
Yeah, I think there is. I don't remember. We should look that up. I don't know what the asshole part of the brain is, but, you know.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. He's able to function in every other aspect.
Right.
Other than he's being mean to people and stealing stuff. I don't think there's a switch up there that clicks to say, hey, stealing, breaking the law is right.
I know. And he's cattle rustling and stuff before he's injured, so you're probably right.
What?
Whoa, I said probably. Don't hang on that too much. So he started training and raising dogs, and he was making a considerable amount of money on this.
Oh, his mind seems to be working quite well then.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, let that go.
Sorry.
He stole everything. Livestock, alcohol, gasoline, grain, even antiques. At this time, when he was doing his thing, Skidmore had the highest rate of livestock thefts in Missouri.
Whoa. In that little town.
It's a town of 400 and some people. They can't even have as many livestock as most towns.
I know,
like,
right?
There's not enough room. Like, it's that small. It's crazy. He was charged 3 times a year on average, indicted 21 times, never convicted.
21 times?
Yes. The residents were just too afraid to ever testify against him. So he was known to have this arsenal of guns, and he was always armed. He would stalk and threaten witnesses. He'd park outside their homes and watch them at night. He would threaten to kill them while holding a gun.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Every witness would recant and the charges would be dropped. He became dangerous because he was untouchable, actually. And he knew this. One farmer said he was. Picture this, I guess. Before I give you this, picture this. He's 276 pound. Huge guy who never gets in trouble for anything because everybody's scared of him. And so there was one farmer who actually said, I think that Ken simply wanted to be big and important and have people afraid of him when he walked down the street. And he got that. They were.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole town is just terrified of this bully.
So he got what he wanted. He made the people scared of him.
He owned that place. He could do whatever he wanted, and he got away with all of it. He bragged that his lawyer represented the mob and would keep him out of jail.
Wow, so yes. He is getting by with a lot of shit.
He is. His lawyer was a Kansas City lawyer, Richard Gene McFadden. And a lot of people have, like, reported it that he also represented the mob. I don't know if that's true. He's a damn good lawyer, though.
Apparently.
Yeah. Some of the things that he was accused of, okay? Robbery, harassing and assaulting women, destroying property, threatening lives, assault, including shooting 2 people.
He shot 2 people and got by with it?
Okay, we're going to tell this story. So, one of those people, let's just talk about one of those people, because other charges are sexual assault, rape, child molestation.
What the?
Yeah, he's not just an asshole. He's a disgusting asshole. The guy that he shot, his name was Romaine Henry. And Romaine Henry found McElroy, Ken Rex, on his land and said, hey, you can't be out here shooting your guns on my land. Get out. and he shot him in the stomach.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And the trial was drug out because he was charged. The trial was drug out. And again, this guy is planning on testifying against him, sure. But magically, whenever it was time to have pretrial, what have you, these two raccoon hunters suddenly appear and say, oh, Ken Rexwith was with us in another county that day. He couldn't have been here and shot him. Case is dropped. Everybody goes home.
Shut up.
No. So he was finally going to get something done and suddenly was able to find these witnesses that placed him somewhere else. So there's that.
Blows my mind.
Now, the sexual assault victims, they were too terrified to press charges. Obviously, if people won't even testify against him for anything else, especially since he was accused of raping two young women as young as 12 years old. Let's call it girls because those are not young women.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah. Both of these women, he's said to have married.
Wait, he married them?
To avoid statutory rape charges so they could not testify against him.
What a sick B word.
He fathered more than 10 children. And he preferred girls around the age of 13 and 14 for his wives.
I'm surprised somebody didn't.
I know, right? So, sometimes his marriages even overlapped. He would not be divorced from one before he would marry the next one. And they were underage girls. All of them were underage girls when they married him.
I'm surprised the father didn't shoot him.
Well, that's...
like, in the process of all this.
Yeah, well, one teen that he married was 14-year-old Trina McLeod. He raped her repeatedly and then got her pregnant. And he made threats and bullied her parents into agreeing to allow her to marry him.
Oh my gosh.
So, again, so she couldn't testify against him and he would avoid statutory rape charges because the baby is the evidence there, right? And so he moves Trina in with he and his first child bride, or second child bride, excuse me, Alice. Trina is the third wife. And he marries her, and I think that might have been one that overlapped a little bit. Shortly after the baby is born, Trina and Ken Rex's baby is born, Alice and Trina run away to Trina's parents' house. So they flee. I'm not sure. I'm sure they were colluding probably most of the time. Like, mm-hmm. We've got to figure out a way to get away from this psycho. Well, Ken Rex, this is how he answers to that. He burned down her parents' home and shot their dog.
Oh my gosh.
After which he would, I mean, after this all happened after, couldn't get that out. He had sat outside their house at night. All the time, just stalked them. Like, I mean, that's his MO, right? And then eventually he burned down their house and shot their dog.
What the heck?
Yeah. And so at one point he was arrested for arson during this time. And from what I found, at this time, Trina and her baby went to a foster home because she's still young enough to be in foster care.
Easy.
And of course, Ken Rex was right out of jail immediately. And so he would stalk the foster family.
What the heck? And
that's not even it. He would tell them, he would trade them girl for girl and told them he knew what class their biological daughter was in and what school bus she rode and everything.
Oh my God.
How terrifying. And that was just one story that I found. And I don't know why, upon his release, Trina wasn't given back to him
being the wife.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't see anything that kind of explained that part away. But anyway, Trina ends up back with him, of course. Yeah. For more than 20 years, this went on. 20
wow.
years he terrorized this town and got away with everything he ever did. the justice system would do nothing. And the police, quite frankly, were afraid of him.
Well, that's promising.
Mm-hmm. I think there was one about a deputy or policeman of some sort that pulled him over for speeding. And he noticed this guy lurking around his house every night. And I don't remember, he shot off a gun at some point or something. But he said, I never saw who it was, but I just know it was him.
Mm-hmm. That's freaky.
So that scared the shit out of him too. Which would.
So he pretty well owned the town.
He did. On April 25th, 1980, Tanya, which was Ken Rex's 8-year-old daughter, she was caught stealing candy from the general store in town. The only little general store in town. This general store was owned by Bo and Lois Bowenkamp. And the clerk working in the store asked her to return it. And there was some kind of little squabble, I guess, between the child and the clerk. Anyway, it got back to Ken Rex, and this pissed him off. Of course. Lois, she tried to smooth it over, calm him down, diffuse the situation, saying it was all a big misunderstanding. Everything, you know, everything's fine. Nobody's upset. It's just a misunderstanding. We can look past it. But Ken Rex was not going to let it go.
Of course not.
No, he began stalking and harassing the Bowen camps. And then on July 8th, 1980, Bowenkamp, 70 years old, he was on the loading dock, and Ken Rex comes speeding up a back alley behind the grocery store, pulls up next to Bo, and shoots him in the neck at point blank range with a shotgun.
Holy crap.
Yes. He survived.
A point blank range with a shotgun?
Yes. I'm sure it wasn't pretty.
At 70 some years old?
I know.
What?
But he survived. And this was kind of a tipping point for the residents. This is enough. He has, in the middle of town, shot someone at point blank. Like, no, we're not doing this anymore. He was arrested and charged. And this time, he actually went to trial for it.
And?
So, he attempted to intimidate the Bowenkamps and all of the people who supported him, or them, excuse me. And the Bowenkamp's daughter, later, she was quoted saying, you can't know how intimidating it was after that. Before his trial, he'd drive up to our house in his pickup at night and just sit there. Sometimes he would fire his gun. It was frightening.
Good Lord.
So, same shit. He just keeps it up. And this time it didn't work. Luckily, the citizens of Skidmore pulled together and they just lined up to testify against him.
Good
in this
deal.
Trial.
Finally.
Yes. There was also a new prosecutor, David Baird. He was just 3 years out of law school. But the old prosecutor just up and quit suddenly at the beginning of the trial.
Hmm.
And there people speculate that Ken Rex scared him out of it.
It would make sense.
It would make sense. And so whether that's true or not, I don't know. But David Baird actually was able to do what nobody else had been able to do thus far. And that is convict Ken Rex.
Finally.
Finally, he was convicted. Now, instead of convicting him of the assault with intent to kill, he went for the lesser charge of knowingly cause serious physical action instead of intent to kill, because he knew that he could secure a conviction easier with the lesser charge. But what that meant was now Ken Rex was sentenced to just 2 years in jail.
That, no.
Yeah, right.
2 years for trying to kill an old man?
Yeah, exactly.
Or any man, I know, but ugh.
Oh, I know, but the old man, oh.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Same like way. And after he's convicted, this is what Ken Rex actually had to say about it, okay? The jury convicted me, and they gave me 2 years. But I'll tell you what, I've never gone to jail. I'll appeal and get off. I've been fighting the law since I was 13, and I'm damn near 50. I've been arrested for over 53 felonies, and this is the first one I've ever lost.
That's so messed up.
How, like, crazy is it that he's...
53 felonies.
Yeah, and, like, he's just kept count of all these, and he's like, meh, watch what happens.
Well, he can count.
Well, he was right, actually. He filed an appeal on this conviction, and he was released on $40,000 bail.
Get out of here.
While they waited the results of the appeal, or what have you, while they were waiting for the appeal to be decided on. So he is right back on the streets terrorizing people, and you best believe he knew every single person that had testified against him in that trial, and he was dead set on revenge when he got out.
Torturing them, I'm sure.
So the sad part is, I'm sure these people are thinking, this is going to be the one that puts him away. This is going to be it.
And nope, here he comes.
No, he comes right back out. So these people who had put their lives in danger, literally, to testify in this trial, were now actually in live danger. Mm-hmm. Like because he
seeing
was
him
roaming
the streets again.
Yeah. Pretty much immediately after he got out, he was in D&G Tavern, the local bar. He had a gun and a bayonet. And he was giving graphic details on how he was going to kill Bo and Camp.
What the hell?
The old man. Yeah. Because how dare he file charges on him for shooting him in the neck.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All this over a little piece of candy being stolen.
Exactly. This guy's not right. And I think that's why a lot of people are looking for some kind of explanation and say, it's got to be when he got hit on the head, right?
No.
Well... I don't disagree with you at all. I'm just saying that's why Stop they're saying
using
that
as an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, after this little show, he was arrested for violating his bail provisions, but he was released right away.
In a way.
Yeah. The citizens of Skidmore did everything that they could.
They're not getting no help from outside.
None. They sent letters to the state police, to the governor, to legislators. Everything, anybody they could think of, they were sending letters and pleading for help in the situation, and nobody reached out to them. Nobody gave them any help at all. The justice system completely failed this entire town. So they pretty much decided, well, I guess it's on us, guys, because nobody else gives a shit. So I guess we're going to have to figure out a way to take care of this. Okay?
Okay.
On July 10th, 1981, they held a town hall meeting of sorts at the Legion Hall. This is just down the street from D&G Tavern, where Ken Rex likes to spend all of his time.
I suspect everything's right down the street from the tavern in a town like that.
You know, you have a good point there. Because there is only one street, probably. Yeah, we come from that town. Not that town, but the same town, pretty much. 60 people attended this meeting.
The whole town.
Yes, including the mayor and sheriff.
Oh.
See, the people wanted to know, what can we legally do to stop him and prevent him from hurting anyone else? We're done. We're tired of it. We want... There's got to be something, right? They're reaching out one last time. Please help us.
Help,
tell
yeah.
us something. Well, the sheriff, Dan Estes, suggested a neighborhood watch.
The sheriff is suggesting this?
Yeah. Like, tell me that doesn't speak volumes of how terrified people are of him when the sheriff is like, well, I mean...
Well, I could use some help.
A neighborhood watch would be nice, right? I mean, I'm not going to go out there and look for him, and I'm not chancing my deputies because that man's dangerous. You guys take care of it. You got it. It's fine. What? A neighborhood watch? I could see being in that meeting, and he's like, oh, I would suggest a neighborhood watch. And I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Easy.
Why... did we elect you?
So what exactly is a neighborhood watch person supposed to do when this big ox is out there stealing their shit?
Well, he's gonna shoot them. I mean, not the neighborhood watch person, but
yeah, exactly.
Ken Rex, anybody challenges him, he's going to shoot them. Why wouldn't he? Because he's never gotten in trouble for it. Sure, he's convicted. He's out immediately. So he's never answered for a single thing ever.
What I'm saying, like, no.
No. So a neighborhood watch is just going to mean probably a dead body. It's not going to solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a yahoo. During the meeting, word reaches this crowd that Ken, Rex, and Trina have just arrived at the D&G Tavern for drinks. Dravern. I well, put drinks struggle. And tavern together there. So Ken, Rex is carrying with him his rifle with bayonet.
Again, like always.
Like, who does that? Who just rides or has his rifle and bayonet with him all the time? I think he was scared a little bit.
He knew.
I think he knew people were done. That's my theory. Anyway, the meeting adjourned not long after this. And the 60 people headed down the street toward D&G Tavern while the sheriff drove out of town.
Oh, where's he going?
The hell out of there. Now, this crowd, it's been, I've seen many different reports on the size of this crowd, from 30 people all the way to 60 people, and then some people say 46. That's a really specific number there in the middle. But anyway.
Some 30 to 60 people.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. They all kind of converge on the tavern, okay? And he's still inside, having him some drinksies and woohoo, having fun with a little gun and bayonet. And some of them even went inside just to watch him and wait for him to leave.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. I can imagine the tension the air at this time when they're just waiting for him to leave. I'm not sure that there was any idea of what was going to happen. We'll talk about that. Anyway, Ken, Rex, and Trina, they decide to leave. They pay their tab, walk outside, and climb into their truck. Ken, Rex lights up a cigarette, and the crowd surrounds the truck.
Holy crap.
At this time, Trina looks over her shoulder and notices a gun pointed at her husband. She dives out of the truck as the first shots ring out. A bystander grabbed her and took her to safety. And within a few moments, Ken Rex is dead from two gunshots to the head. The crowd disperses. No one calls an ambulance.
Why would they?
And the only sound in the street, only person probably left in the street, is Trina screaming.
That's the best thing could happen to her.
Yes, but she has been with this man since she was 14.
That's all she knew.
Mm-hmm. Investigators found Ken Rex had been shot by two different people because one was from the front and one was from the back.
Oh.
And there were two different shell casings found, so two different kinds of guns. There were over 40 people. See? Witnessed the shooting of Ken Rex, and no one saw anything.
No one knows a thing.
Nothing. Everyone felt that the law had let them down and that they had no choice but to take it into their own hands. Here's what one person said. We simply felt that the system had failed us. We all knew what McElroy was. And there he was again and again. It seemed like no one could stop him. Well, he's stopped now. I'm just going to say that. So anyway, Trina did end up naming one person as a shooter, Dale Clement. He was a part owner of D&G Tavern. He denied the charge and no one else came forward. No other witnesses came forward and said, yes, it was Dale. And so they decided not to charge him.
Yay.
After local authorities looked into the case, the FBI came in to look into the case. There were three different grand juries held, but no other suspects were ever brought in for the killing. The official standing on the report was Ken Rex was murdered by person or persons unknown. No one said anything.
Still yet. Which is pretty.
So nifty. Here's another quote from someone from Skidmore. Once the shroud of silence fell, there was going to be no one talking. They could have pushed and dug, and gotten nothing. We were so bitter and so angry at the law letting us down that it came to somebody taking matters in their own hands. No one has any idea what a nightmare we lived.
Wow.
Yeah. So, they took him out. On July 9th, 1984, Trina filed a $6 million wrongful death lawsuit against the town of Skidmore, Nottoway County, sheriff, and the mayor, and Dale Clement. Poor guy. They settled for $17,600. Yep. She left the area and remarried, but she passed away of cancer on her 55th birthday.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What a rough life she lived, really, though.
Really, yeah. And I thought that's the only kind of, like, silver lining in all this is if she can then sue.
At least she got some
and
money.
And then she's set up for a while. Like, maybe that's something good that came out of it after what she's been through. So, there's some people who think the plot was all planned out at that meeting.
Oh, yeah. I think somebody put a bug in their ear that he was there. And they're like, right now, let's do this. We're tired of everything.
So, you believe that? You believe that at the town hall, they were like, well, we're going to go kill him.
I believe that they had a meeting set up to discuss what to do. And then somebody said, hey, he's going to the bar right now, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what better time than now? Let's do it. Because you know everybody around there probably had a rifle or a gun somewhere on them in their
apparently
vehicle.
Everybody's armed in that town. Yeah.
Well, everybody had guns in their back glass and stuff like that, you know, hanging.
No,
in.
Yeah, I get that. But this dude's carrying around a gun with bayonet all the time.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the people. Yeah,
okay.
So they're like, well, now's better than any. Let's do it.
Yeah, I guess.
Perfect setup.
I don't know. I think it's interesting that, and I don't know how many people have said that the sheriff came up with the idea of a neighborhood watch and then just drove out of town. Or because I know that the sheriff was actually the one who said, well, I suggested a neighborhood watch.
He said it like that.
Yes.
I'm thinking
I just feel like he was conveniently out of town.
That's what I'm saying. They decided that's what they was going to do then. And the sheriff was like, well, you guys know I can't be here for that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to head out right now. And then you guys go take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they planned it at the
meeting?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know that I feel that. I think that definitely mob mentality played a part. I think that they all went out and they're like, well, he's told us to watch him, so we're gonna watch him. And then they all crowded around the truck, and I wouldn't think that it would be above Ken Rex to be like, you can't touch me. And somebody was like, well, okay, I'm done with this, and shot him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can see him like laughing at them or something and being like, you got nothing or something, and them being like, okay, I'm gonna shut this mofo up.
Then why did the sheriff leave?
Because he's scared of Ken Rex and he knew he was in town.
No. I still say that they planned a meeting not to do anything or just to figure out a way to stop him. And then
it just escalated into what it was.
Yep.
It's a possibility. It's absolutely possible. But I don't know. I think I just feel like this was a heat of passion kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That they were like, I just can't let this keep happening.
Was there more than two shots fired or just those two?
I don't remember. I want to say there were more.
Because that would explain a little bit more of a heated thing. Mm-hmm. Instead of a planned.
Yeah. No, I heard this story so many times and I want to say that there were more than two shots.
I think
but
I
only
remember
two
seeing pictures
hit.
Of the truck and it had more than two shots down the side of it.
And we'll find some of those and Terry will post them.
I've already got them saved to post.
Good thing, because I never remember to do that. So, I gotta say, listen, I have spoken out against the vigilante justice before because I think it's too risky and you put yourself on their level when you do that.
Is there a but?
That being said.
Oh, I knew it.
This is different. This is 100% different. And I'll make the argument that there is no black and white. Okay. The world is not black and white, right and wrong. No, there are grays everywhere. And this is a gray because this man could not be stopped. These people desperately tried everything else before they resorted to this. It wasn't like, well, we heard he killed somebody, so we're going to go down to the jail and hang him.
He shot a man in the neck. Yeah. And the guy survived to talk about it, to tell.
Yeah.
That mofo shot me. And yet he's roaming the streets still threatening them.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying is in this instance, I don't think they had a choice. I don't think they thought that they had a choice. And quite honestly, I don't think they had a choice. Mm-mm. I think
no law enforcement was going to help.
No.
No system.
Nothing was going to help. They've proven that over and over and over again that it's not going to happen. So this is a gray where I have to say,
oh,
Shayla, that I believe it was warranted. Well, I think, like you said, how many times do we put innocent people behind bars for life? And then 20 years later, it's like, whoops, we missed this one little piece of evidence that says you didn't do it. Because everything else we saw said you did. And it looked really good that you did it. But we missed the one thing that said you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the smoking gun, right? Like, that's too big of a chance that you're wrong for me. So, there's that. Anyway, so yeah, I love this story because I think it's one of those times when the vigilanteism was warranted, and you see a whole town come together and not say a thing afterward. Nobody's going to ever say anything.
No amount of money.
And I so wish one of these people on their deathbed will tell what happened, just so we can finally all know. Like, you know, if they did it, they can be like, okay, it was me.
I'm out.
Call the New York Times. Get them in here. I got something to say.
You're horrible.
Because, I don't know, I just feel like, I feel like people know. I mean, I'm sure people know.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
They're a hero.
You can call me and tell me. I won't tell anybody.
Whatever.
I know. I would get too excited and be like, oh my God, I know.
Oh gosh. You're horrible.
So, anyway, that is the story. And I like it. I like that story. I think it's crazy.
I hate bullying.
I know. It's scary to think that somebody got away with all that shit.
It's crazy that one person can bully a town, a system.
Yeah.
Police officers.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane to me.
It is insane. So, Terry Ann.
Shayla K.
Do we have any reviews this week that you would like to tell us about?
I think we do. I think we had one from Grill Master Flex.
Yes. It was actually a very good review.
Yeah.
And we loved it. So, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And
definitely appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. So, email us. We'll send you a sticker. I actually know who it is. So,
what?
Well, because they have reached out on Twitter. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, but they didn't give me their address. So,
maybe they will now.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was our reviews for the week, and I'm just glad we had one.
Yeah,
because we haven't lately, so that's good.
But we've got a lot of people communicating with us now,
right?
So that's
right,
really cool.
Right. I do feel like the channels have opened suddenly. Like, we did Show Me Your Booze last week, and I was like, I have no stories. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't have any stories. And then at the last minute, it's like, whoa, here come this flood of stories. And I was like, ugh, we're gonna have to do like a two-parter or something, because there's
like
so
it.
Many stories. Yeah, I love it. So we'll have another one before the end of the month, probably.
I'm excited. I love hearing their stories.
I do too. It's so fun. So nobody wants to record, though. Every time I say, we can record or you can just write it, they're like,
well, all right.
I'll just write it.
It's all right. We'll take that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
But I just wanted to, like, mention that so people don't think that I'm just, like, nah, just write it. I don't want to deal with talking to you, because that's not the case at all. I did want to mention merch. I see you guys buying merch.
Yes.
Yes. I hope you're enjoying those designs. And I know you probably haven't gotten it yet because we ordered and we haven't gotten ours yet. The shipping is a little expensive. I realize that. If that's a huge issue for you, reach out to us and tell us if that's just too much for you to pay for shipping, because we have another website that we can set up for merch. And so if that's going to be an issue and keep you from getting it, then we can try that one. I don't know how good their shipping is as far as cost.
We can switch and try.
Yeah, we can try. And so we'll do whatever we need to for you. So
you're too sweet.
Nah, thanks. Do what I can. I do it all for the listeners.
Oh my gosh. You treat them better than me.
Yeah. Also, reach out to us without
we went right past it.
Yeah, I do. Whatever. Reach out to us if you have any suggestions about stories you'd like to hear. I have some, like I said, but we want to go there. So those are kind of holding. Don't think that you can't give us another suggestion just because we haven't covered yours yet. And yeah, we're excited. And happy birthday to Terry.
Aw, thank you.
Yes, Terry's birthday is August 1st. So we just celebrated Terry's birthday.
We did. It was good times.
Yeah. So happy birthday, dear.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Getting old.
Let's not talk about it. All right, guys, have a fantastic week and we will see you very soon. We love you.
Absolutely. Till next time, guys.
Bye.